And we're going to talk a little high school baseball now. We go to the hotline to do that. We bring in Tim Gebhardt with the Chronicle-Telegram. Tim, always a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend. How are you?
Always enjoy catching up with you, Bull. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, all things considered, there were actually a decent chunk of games this weekend. You and I were just talking off air about how tough it can be for teams in this area to get games in. You know, I know at this stage in the season, you'd like to at least have a handful of games in, but a lot of teams at this point have struggled to even get a couple games in. But looking at some of the games that went down this weekend, you know, Amherst just continues to impress. 4-0 on the year. Evan Shauver picked up the win for them over the weekend. He's out to a very nice start this year, as we figured he might be. The Amherst Comets, they look really good early on.
Well, you know, Shauver, I saw him pitch a couple of times last year. I want to say that I have yet to see him give up an earned run. I mean, the two or three times I saw him pitch, he is just a tenacious pitcher, very, very good. And, of course, Amherst has had a very good run of teams here recently. You know, they won 23 games a year ago. Matt Rossitano's been over there 6 years. He's already got 104 wins as a coach. So, you know, that speaks for itself. I think he does an outstanding job over there. He's a good ball player himself, by the way, and so he should know what he's doing. And of course, you know, that Rossitano family just seems to be around winners, don't they?
Yeah. Heck of a year for that Rossitano family, no question about that. You know, and as we continue to look, you know, at Amherst right now, of course, you know, they lose Xavier Moore from a year ago. He's drafted by the Rangers, and he's on his way to doing some very special things. And it's incredible, though, how teams have the ability to reload and still stay on top. And, you know, reading your baseball article that was in the Forecast magazine that was placed on newsstands not that long ago, you know, as you look at some of the other teams in the SWC, to me anyway, Tim, just, you know, taking a look at what's transpired early on this year, Amherst still looks like the team to beat.
That's a very, very competitive league year in and year out. You know, from top to bottom, that, you know, you could make a case for at least a half a dozen teams in that league that could wind up on top. You know, Avon might be a little down this year. They had a great graduating class last year off of that district champion team, but it wouldn't surprise me if they're back in the mix again. Midview, Todd Radica does an outstanding job over there. I'm looking forward to seeing them tomorrow. Perhaps if the weather cooperates, they'll be hosting North Ridgeville tomorrow. I get a chance to see the Middies. They always are a competitive team. You know, they've got a pretty good couple of pitchers themselves. Jamie Myers, Owen Hawk. They should be a very representative team themselves. I think North Ridgeville could be one of those surprise teams this year. Matt Ponning, I've talked to him. He had a very young group the last 2 years. Now they're maybe primed and ready to make some noise.
We're talking high school baseball with Tim Gebhardt of the Chronicle-Telegram here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. You had just referenced Avon. You know, they had a really nice come-from-behind victory over Mayfield on Saturday. Anytime you fall into an early 6-0 hole in the top of the first inning, chances are you're not coming back, but to their credit, they battled back, and they eventually overcame that early 6-0 hole and won 7-6 over Mayfield. What are some of the expectations for the Eagles this year? You know, they got a new head coach, Craig Kirshner. Well, what are the expectations for them having lost as much as they did a year ago?
Well, you know, I think they're going to have to probably rely on a little bit of their tradition. I mean, they've had very good teams over the last three, four seasons, and I think that tradition will carry them, you know, a little bit this year. Now they've got they had some younger pitchers, as I recall, from last year's team, Bill Laurendale, and I'm trying to remember, Cooper Dockery might have been another one that they showed some flashes of being very, very good. You know, they lost a lot of talent off of that team from last year. They had they had probably 6 or 7 seniors in the starting lineup and a very good couple of starting pitchers that were on that team as well. But it wouldn't surprise me if they're right back in the thick of it. You know, Craig takes over that program this year, and best of luck to him.
Well, and that's a lot to replace. You lose seven or eight guys in your starting lineup, especially at high school. That's a ton of turnover from one year to the next. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how that progresses throughout the course of the season. You know, how long do you think it takes for teams to really kind of hit their stride? I kind of feel like I look at some of these scores, and I see that some of these teams are putting up seven or eight runs, or in the case of Vermillion, they put up 20 just the other day. That's impressive to me, because I've always thought that early in the year, it's really difficult for the bats to come around.
Well, you know, you make a good point. This time of year, you know, some of these teams have only been outside maybe half a dozen times, if that. And it's tough to get when you're hitting ground balls off the gymnasium floor, that's quite a bit different than hitting them off the dirt. And so fielding can be an issue this time of year. I don't know if that factored into Vermillion scoring 20 runs, but that's a team that you have to watch for, too. Jeff Keck, what a heck of a coach he's been. He's done an outstanding job out there. His teams are competitive, it seems like, year in and year out. Always comes up with seems like he always finds some strong left-handed pitcher that can drive the area crazy with his pitching. And, you know, this year he's got people like Mason Montgomery, who you probably recall from the basketball team, very good athlete, very good player. And, you know, they're going to be another very, very good team, I'm sure, out there in that Sandusky Bay Conference.
Well, and you had referenced, you know, not being able to get outside a ton, taking ground balls on the gym floor. And, you know, I've always thought it was difficult for outfielders as well. You can only practice pop-ups in the outfield,
sure. Yeah,
in the gym so many times. I mean, unless you get out there and you take them, it's different. When you're staring at the gym ceiling as opposed to staring at the sky, it's just so hard to get into game mode when you're tracking down fly balls or taking grounders on the gym floor. That's a great point, because you're going to get some nice natural hops on that gym floor. Then you get outside, those hops aren't going to be as forgiving. But I think it's just like the visual aspect of everything, too. You know, I mean, when you're taking ground balls in the gym floor, or when you're playing first base and you're taking throws from one side of the gym to the other, when you're not in your natural element, I mean, I just think for teams up north here, it just makes the whole process that much tougher.
Oh, it really does. I recall back in my own days, you know, you mentioned the outfielders. You know, you get outside and then you catch a windy day or whatever. It just is a totally different atmosphere than playing indoors, you know.
Oh, yeah, when you're walking around on the gym floor, it's way, way different than when you're running around in that outfield grass. There are a lot of other elements at play that you just don't have to figure for when you're out on the gym floor.
Well, you know, a lot of times they don't really care about the outfielders either. It can be raining, and, of course, if they get that infield ready to play, they're not going to care about those outfielders sloshing around out there in those puddles. Believe me.
Oh, yeah. No, hey, and you know what? When you're running around out there, it feels like your feet weigh about 6 or 7 pounds extra, right, because you're carrying around a bunch of slop and mud. So
exactly.
It's fun to run around out there, but it gets pretty old pretty quick, especially when you're soaking wet and you're muddy. It makes it very, very tough to get from point A to point B out there.
Right.
Well, Elyria doesn't have to worry about that right now because Coach Piazza and company went down south. Now, they're down in North Carolina during spring break. What's the outlook for them at this tournament? Seems like there's some pretty good competition down there.
Well, you know, they've done that a couple of times. They've gone down to either Myrtle Beach or North Carolina or wherever they're at this year. They've got Devin Nail. He's a Kent State commit, one of the area leaders in stolen bases last year, and you know, he hit well over 300 a year ago. I think he's a player to watch for them. If I'm remembering correctly, they've got a couple other youngsters that are back. Mike Knapp was a freshman, kind of a freshman phenom a year ago. He's going to be making some noise. Another guy to watch. Tristan Arno, who of course transferred over from Wellington with his father. You know, Sean, who coaches the football team. Tristan is just an outstanding athlete, third base, catcher. He'll do anything for you, and an outstanding hitter as well. So Elyria could make some noise if they can find a couple of arms, couple of dependable pitchers.
Devin Nail stood out to me last year in the one game that I saw the Pioneers play. As a matter of fact, I think you and I were at that game together. It was against Lorain very early in the year. And
right.
No, we always talk about the weather, about how it changes drastically. When we got there, it was pouring down rain. It started a little bit late. Then the sun came out. Then it was windy, and the temperature dropped about 5 or 10 degrees. That was a wild first game of the year. It was a doubleheader. I think I was there for the first game. I mean, you had to cover them both. What a weird dynamic that was. Just so strange that early in the season. You just never know what you're going to get. But Devin Nail's one of those players that really stood out to me in the one game that I saw him, because he could do so many different things.
Boy, there's you make another good point about the weather around here. You could start off the day, 50, 60, 70 degrees maybe, and by the end of the day, it might be raining or snowing even. I mean, I've seen that happen too.
Well, unfortunately, my friend, we're headed down that path right now this spring. It seems like the snow's not totally done falling just yet. Now, you mentioned you've got a couple of games on your schedule this week. Tomorrow, you mentioned North Ridgeville and Wellington?
Right. No, North Ridgeville and Midview tomorrow. Midview. And then on Saturday, North Ridgeville will be over at Wellington.
Well, I'm hopeful that on Saturday, Mother Nature cooperates and she warms things up a little bit, because while you've got that game going on Saturday, I'm headed to the Tribe game on Saturday. So
for
both of our sakes, hopefully it's at least a little bit warmer, maybe just a skosh.
You know, I'll just mention a couple other teams I think I'm anxious to get to see this year. Be Elyria Catholic, even though they've lost their primary pitcher from a year ago. He's out in Nebraska now. They still should be pretty good. They got Leighton Banjoff back. They've got a very good infield. I think they're going to be pretty solid. Keystone should be very, very good. They've got just about everybody back for Bert Fitzgerald. You know, they lost a tough 1-0 game in the tournament a year ago. They should be very tough. And we mentioned one of the smaller schools is Lake Ridge Academy. Jason DiMacchia has a very, very strong team over there. They could make some noise in that Division IV area. I'm looking forward to some very strong baseball from this area, in spite of the weather conditions not being very baseball friendly.
Well, the crazy thing is, we're 6 weeks away from the tournament's beginning. So it's
exactly. That's the other thing. You know, here in Northeast Ohio, it's a very quick and short season, but you got to get those games in. There's been years where I've seen teams play only, a dozen to 15 games. They managed to get in. Other years, they're well into the 20s. So I know they schedule a lot of games because of that. They want to make sure they try to get as many games played as they can. And hopefully the weather will give them some cooperation.
Yes, well, at some point it's got to take a turn for the better, no doubt about that. Tim, a pleasure as always, my friend. Always enjoy catching up with you, and we'll do it again soon.
Absolutely, Bull. Anytime. Give me a holler. I'll be happy to be on with you.